coming up on 3 and Out.
Bradley Roby's down the sideline. He's going to the house. Roby with the pick six.
The defense rose to the occasion in Jacksonville as Paxton Lynch made just his second career start.
There's some opportunities in the game where, he's got to give us a chance with the ball better.
With no time to waste, the offense looks to correct things with a trip to Nashville on the horizon.
It's that grind time. It's week 13. You know, guys are beat up here and there.
And one guy who is fresh, Khalif Raymond, hopes to keep providing a spark in the return game.
My first time getting hit in 2 weeks, so once you get hit, it's like, okay, everything goes away, butterflies are gone.
This show is sure to be a hit. 3 and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and we have a great show on tap, so let's get things started with First Down. Here with Matt Boyer now, and Matt, we're talking Paxton Lynch. Guy just made his second career start. It was not pretty, but the Broncos got the win.
I think that, it definitely wasn't pretty. However, I do think there were some positive things. Not turning the ball over, of course, a tenet in Gary Kubiak's system. When you don't turn the ball over and you can run the ball, that allows teams to win games, and I thought they were able to do that against Jacksonville. Also, six sacks against Atlanta, much improved against the Jags. Only 2 sacks in Jacksonville. The pocket awareness was much better. So in those regards, I thought Paxton looked pretty good.
Some of the numbers on Paxton, 12 for 24, 104 yards. No touchdowns, and like you mentioned, no interceptions. The big thing for me was maybe give his playmakers on the outside a chance to make the catch, especially on some of those deep throws.
Right, and when you've got wide receivers like Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, you have to give them a shot. Coach Kubiak said as much, and I thought he did that in places, down in the red zone right before Devontae Booker's touchdown. I thought he hit Demaryius Thomas on a nice slant route that helped set up that run play. So you saw some flashes. You know it's there. I think it is coming, but like Coach Kubiak said, there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, Kubiak says that he still thinks that Paxton Lynch is on track to be a successful quarterback in this league.
I think this guy's got a brilliant career ahead of him. I'm really excited. We're asking a lot of him. We threw him in there against Atlanta. He got a start against Atlanta, and he gets a start on the road here against Jacksonville. And, he's a young kid, but I'm excited about some of the things I see, and then I'm also excited about things I know we can correct that are going to help him out. But he's a hard worker. He's a good kid. He went in there and protected the ball yesterday, which we needed him to do for us to win. Yeah, he can make some more plays. He knows that, and I have confidence that he will.
Time for a second down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, it wasn't just Paxton Lynch struggling out there. The entire offense really couldn't get into a rhythm or flow.
Yeah, it couldn't. Starts with the running game, of course. Capri Bibbs didn't play the second half. Now he's on injured reserve. Devontae Booker couldn't get the same kind of surge that Capri Bibbs got in the first half. And, of course, the offensive line, they were struggling. And a lot of what the Broncos were doing with Paxton Lynch was to try to get the ball out to avoid the Jaguars' pass rush. But the line wasn't getting a push when they ran on the run, so you didn't have a lot of holes for Devontae Booker in the second half. Only 1 first down for the entire offense after halftime. No third down conversions. That being said, some of it Lynch could have done better. If he completes that deep ball to Emmanuel Sanders in the third quarter when he's wide open and Paxton Lynch has the play fake bootleg going, then we've got a completely different narrative for the second half and probably the entire game at large. So there are things that Paxton Lynch could have done better, but yes, clearly the offensive struggles were a team effort.
The Broncos playmakers know they have to make some plays here.
The main thing with me is basically getting open for the guy that I have as a quarterback. But all guys are different, different balls. Some throw farther than the other ones. So it's different with every quarterback, but on my standpoint, it's basically doing my job is, getting open and getting my quarterback a throw.
It was below average for me. In the second half, we wasn't running the ball as effectively as we was doing this first in the first half, and, we just got to get better on that.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. And Ben, while the offense struggled to get yards, the return game got a spark by Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, he did pretty well. People are going to look at that first return and be a little cautious. But a hard one to return, hard to judge. Really where you want to look at is where he got settled in. Because once he got settled in on his fourth and fifth punt, he got around the edge. He made some reads through some blocks. And on that first one, he got a 15-yard penalty, which basically made it a 34-yard net. Set them up for a scoring drive with that field goal before the end of the half. So really, he had a pretty big impact in that first half.
He had 4 punt returns for 40 yards. His longest was 22 yards. The one thing that head coach Gary Kubiak pointed out was when he had some space, he really made the most of it.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely see he makes some reads. He has the vision. He has the quickness. Obviously, he's fresh. He hasn't played yet this year, besides that game, of course. But
exactly.
But, yeah, he definitely has the tools to add a little bit of juice, as Coach Kubiak
said. Yeah, I was going to say, he said he brought some juice. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, so he definitely brings a little bit of freshness to that special teams unit, which they could use.
Yeah, Kubiak also said he was the fastest guy out on the field Sunday against Jacksonville. Raymond says he wants to get better. He's got that drive, that hunger to improve and provide a spark in the return game.
I want to show everybody that I can make plays. I want to go out there and be a playmaker for this team. So I think that hunger and that desire to go out there and make an impact on the game kind of override the bad bounce I had in the beginning. But that kind of gave me even more motivation and determination to go out there and make a play.
It's time for fourth down. And before we get to your Twitter questions, a quick word from American Financing. When we return, we'll be joined by our interns extraordinaire.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
I'm Caroline Deisley. We're back here on 3 and Out. It's time for your favorite part of the show.
I'm Eric DeLau. Let's get right to your questions. First off, from Drew Nunez. He wants to know if adding Justin Forsett to the backfield will have a big impact on the running game. Matt, why don't you take this one?
Well, you hope that Devontae Booker will be able to carry the load for the Broncos primarily going forward. That means he's healthy and doing things well, progressing through his rookie seasons. However, though, Justin Forsett has had success in a Gary Kubiak system in 2014, 1,200 yards rushing, 200 yards receiving, a Pro Bowl type year. So we know the potential is there for Forsett to come in, pick things up very quickly. We saw another guy in offense, A.J. Derby, a couple weeks ago, pick things up very quickly and start to have success over the last couple of weeks. So I definitely think that while Booker should still be the primary guy if he's healthy, if he keeps progressing, the potential is definitely there for Forsett to come in, step up, and make a contribution right away.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Caroline, you want to take the next one?
Next up, we've got one from number one fan, Daniel Gonzalez. Nice new profile picture. He wants to know, are we looking to prioritize the offensive line drafting next year? Mace, what do you got?
Well, in terms of scouting, they always prioritize it. Most years you're going to pick at least one offensive lineman, but certainly I think the Broncos need to get better up front now. That doesn't mean they're going to go ahead and not take the best player available. And if the best player available in round one isn't an offensive lineman, then they'll go in another direction. But it would surprise me if the Broncos don't come away from this coming draft with 2, even 3 offensive linemen. I think certainly you're looking at the first day, potentially, if they do take one in the first round, but also second day as well. The line certainly needs some reinforcements. We've seen the struggles up front, but the greater issue is this. If you shuffle the offensive line again, you're back to square one. The last 2 years we've talked about this offensive line, how it needs to get consistency, how you've got to keep the same 5 guys out there and let them grow together. Well, if you shuffle the offensive line up again and you have some rookies you're trying to work in there, you've potentially got the same set of problems. So you can prioritize the offensive line all you want. You can pick guys up front all you want. The Broncos haven't been shy about taking second-day offensive linemen during the John Elway era, but at some point, those guys have to work out as well.
So, yes and no. Thanks, Mace. Eric, let's finish it off.
Yeah, finally from Jose Pacheco, we have, with the Titans using a lot of 2 tight end sets, will T.J. Ward play more in the box in place of Brandon Marshall and give Justin Simmons more playing time at strong safety? Swanson, if you know what the box is, why don't you try to answer this one?
Well, you'd certainly love to see them do that. I mean, he can do anything from inside the box. He pursues the quarterback. He gets back on defense and coverage, plays tight ends very well. And, of course, when you do that, you're able to disguise his intent more easily. Of course, Wade Phillips would love to do that. And like you said, to use Justin Simmons in a nickel safety kind of role is obviously valuable because he's been playing more like a veteran. I mean, the guy is very savvy. He's very good coverage, very fast, knows what he's doing. And when that allows you to play with your defense a little bit more, Wade Phillips is going to have some fun.
Thanks, Swanson. You knew more than I thought, apparently.
And thank you, Eric. You know we're inside. Don't know if you got a memo.
Yeah, I think you missed it too.
And thank you guys, as always, for your questions. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, guys. Nice job, as always. That's going to do it for this week's show. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, Caroline Disley, Eric Dalala, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.